If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Hopeful Hints, hosted by Dr. Tara, guides and supports those on the often challenging and isolating journey of women's health concerns and infertility. There's a particularly powerful episode that you should check out called All Things Endometriosis, which dives deep into understanding the condition to help the many women who suffer from endometriosis and have no idea they have it, and healthcare providers who are uneducated about it, making the diagnosis process so difficult. Check out Hopeful Hints on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to Stress 101. Who doesn't need a refresher course? Not on being stressed, but on how to manage it. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. Hi, welcome to Beyond the Paper Gown. I'm Dr. Mitzi Crockover. Just a reminder before we get started that the information shared here today is for educational purposes only and is not to be considered medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider about addressing your specific healthcare issues. I'll admit to you that stress is on my mind. I just finished taking my board recertification, or I hope I'm finished. I was doing okay until about a week before the test. Then the feelings of stress set in. As I saw the days inch closer to that test day, I noticed that my palms were a bit sweaty, my heart beat fast, and I found it hard to concentrate. I'm sure you can relate to your own stress response because we all experience it from time to time, whether you've got something specific going on, like taking a test, or just trying to get out of the house to take the kids to school on time. Short term, I probably don't need to tell you about how stress can trigger headaches, cause muscle tension, and even fatigue, and as I noted, the ability to concentrate. Many of us stay up at night worrying, and that worry can lead to anxiety and depression. But what I want to stress, all puns intended, is that it can not only impact our physical health in the short term, but chronic stress can seriously affect our physical and mental health. So we'll begin with what happens in our body when we feel stress, how that affects our long-term health, and perhaps most importantly, what steps we can take to manage our response to stress so we can not only function better in the short term, but hopefully avoid some of those chronic problems as well. So, what is stress? You're probably saying, I know it when I see it or feel it. I get that. But let's get a definition that we can use as a gauge. According to the World Health Organization, quote, stress can be defined as a state of worry or mental tension caused by a difficult situation. Stress is a natural human response that prompts us to address challenges and threats in our lives. Everyone experiences stress to some degree, end quote. A few things stand out for me in this definition. First of all, stress is a natural human response. And the part about challenge and threat to our lives can be interpreted differently by everyone. It's about our perception of those challenges or threats. One person's stress trigger could be someone else's whatever. How you see it is important, and ultimately how you react to it. And while everyone is at risk for stress, especially today, it's probably not surprising that women are more likely to report experiencing higher levels of stress than men. A study sponsored by the American Psychological Association found that women are more likely to experience stress due to finances, work, and family responsibilities. Additionally, women tend to worry more about and have responsibility for our loved ones, which can contribute to our elevated stress levels. So what happens when we see a threat? You've probably heard of the fight or flight reaction, which is mediated by our sympathetic nervous system. Don't ask, I didn't name it. It's literally in our DNA, programming our body to react immediately when we perceive a threat, helping us either to run away to safety or to stay and fight. As a result, hormones like adrenaline, also known as epinephrine, and cortisol are released. So stress activates our brain, sending signals to the adrenal gland to release epinephrine first. Epinephrine causes our heart to beat faster to get blood to the muscles, heart, and other vital organs so that we can flee fast or fight strong. Blood pressure also rises and we breathe more quickly, inhaling more oxygen to help sharpen our senses. Epinephrine also triggers the release of blood sugar and fats from temporary storage sites. These nutrients supply the energy to fuel our bodies to deal with the threat. Then cortisol, a second hormone, is released from our adrenal gland and keeps the body on high alert until the danger is passed, and then the cortisol levels fall. But if there's continued fear or multiple stressors one after another, these hormones continue to be released. Constant epinephrine surges can lead to high blood pressure and increase the risk of heart disease and stroke. Elevated cortisol levels can play havoc with our blood sugar and fat stores and contribute to the buildup of fat tissue and weight gain. Continued stress can even lead to a weakened immune system, anxiety, and depression. And if you're like me, you may feel your stress in your gut. We now know that digestive problems like irritable bowel syndrome, acid reflux, and even stomach ulcers can result from chronic stress. And finally, chronic stress can even affect women's reproductive systems, leading to irregular periods, infertility, and other reproductive issues. So that's the bad news. So here's the good news. There are many ways to manage stress and improve our health. It's about engaging our parasympathetic nervous system. And for the nerds out there, the fight or flight response is a sympathetic nervous system response, as we said before, and the parasympathetic nervous system helps us rest and digest. Both systems make up our autonomic nervous system, which regulates our involuntary processes like blood pressure, heartbeat, and breathing. So the parasympathetic's primary purpose is to conserve energy for later use, and it regulates things like digestion and urination. And while I did say that they're involuntary, that's not entirely true, thank goodness, because we can affect our response to a certain degree. So that's what I'd like to talk about now. One of the fun things about having this podcast is learning from my guest, so I'll be referencing some of the many experts I've had the honor of interviewing on this topic. You can find the full episodes on our website at beyondthepapergown.com or on your favorite podcast platform. So remember when I said that even though we might not be able to affect the things that stress us out, we can to varying degrees affect how we respond to them. We can, in fact, build a toolkit that we can draw upon. So the first set of tools I'd like to suggest is to consider how to use your five senses to counteract that fight or flight response by taking the time for self-care. You know, I always felt guilty doing that when my kids were younger until someone pointed out that doing so is also a way to tell ourselves that we matter and are important enough to take time out for. Kind of like putting your oxygen mask on before you put it on your child on the airplane. And it's also excellent role modeling for your kids to teach them what to do when they feel stressed. Here are some techniques you can use. Focusing on the sense of sight, you can surround yourself with calming visuals like nature scenes or photos of loved ones. Take a break from screens and spend time outside in natural light and look for greens and blues. Those can be especially calming. According to one of my previous guests, Dr. John LaPuma, an internist with special expertise in echo medicine, he put it this way.
I think the meditative nature of nature is underestimated. It allows you to, when walking in a park or surrounded by greenery or looking at blue space is anything that's water related, as you know, and whether that's a fountain or in a courtyard or the ocean or a lake or a stream, your attention by nature is drawn instead of demanded.
You can also listen to music or sounds that promote relaxation, like gentle rain or ocean waves, or even just what's going on around you. Let's try it right now, if you're not driving, of course. Close your eyes. Take a few minutes to focus on the sounds around you, whether it's birds chirping or even the hum of your computer. Does your breathing get a little slower and deeper? Sometimes just focusing on something else can cause relaxation and get us out of that fight or flight mode. You're probably not surprised to learn that certain kinds of music have been scientifically shown to reduce stress. I spoke at length with Jamie Pabst, founder of Spiritune, who created an app based on neuroscience to use music to reduce stress and bring a sense of calm. According to Pabst, it does take a bit of time for it to do its job, but you can feel some of the effects sooner.
Music is such a fast conductor of human emotion that you can usually feel a shift as the musical elements are shifting, just from your own subjective kind of feeling or, you know, hearing. But secondarily, in terms of physiological changes, such as breath rate and heart rate, those tend to be on a lag time. So they may not kick in immediately. Around 9 to 14 minutes is kind of where you might see some kind of physiological shifts happening in terms of the entrainment of your breath, entrainment of your heart rate.
Our sense of smell can also be a portal to relaxation. You can use aromatherapy to calm your senses, whether it's through essential oils, candles, or herbs like lavender or chamomile. Take a few deep breaths and focus on the scent. Lavender is one of my favorites, and it is recognized for its calming effects. For taste, choose foods that also nourish your body as well as promote relaxation, like nuts, vegetables, and whole grains. There's so many choices. Don't think about what you can't have, but focus on what you enjoy. In fact, savor your meals and take time to enjoy the flavors. As for the sense of touch, you can engage in activities that promote physical relaxation like yoga, massage, or a warm bath where you can drop those lavender essential oils in for a double treat. You can also garden or maybe even knit or crochet, doing something with your hands that you can enjoy and focus on. And last but not least, physical touch can be a real stress reliever too. Petting your dog, for instance, can be very calming, or hugging your loved one. And yes, consensual sex can be very stress relieving, as Dr. Lindsay Harper, CEO of Rosie Sexual Health App, told us.
So being present in our own body, being present with a partner, really focusing on that mindfulness or being present in our bodies. And there we get tons of neurotransmitter release in our brains. We get tons of hormone release in our body. And these can decrease stress, decrease that cortisol hormone, and increase all of our feel-good hormones, including oxytocin, including serotonin and norepinephrine.
In addition to using your five senses toolkit, don't forget to breathe. Breathwork and mindfulness can reduce heart rate and blood pressure and quiet those hormones. Mindfulness meditation involves focusing on the present moment and acknowledging and accepting your thoughts and feelings without judgment. You can incorporate mindfulness into your everyday activities, according to Dr. Terry Pipe, founder of the Center for Mindfulness, Compassion, and Resiliency at ASU.
So mindfulness is really about, again, the skill of paying attention in the moment. Mindfulness can be practiced in everyday life, and that often includes meditation or mindful walking, yoga, mindful eating, lots of different really concentrated practices.
We have a mindful meditation on our website, but here's also a quick breathing exercise for times when you just need to calm your nerves in the moment. This is what I did, in fact, right before my test. Take a deep breath through your nose for 4 counts, hold it for 4 counts, and exhale through your mouth for 4 counts. If you can do that for a couple of minutes, you can trigger your body to relax and counteract those flight or fight hormones. On the other end of the continuum, perhaps, is exercise, which is one of the most effective ways to reduce stress. Exercise can help reduce tension and promote relaxation. Exercise also releases endorphins, which are chemicals that can make you feel good and can help to alleviate anxiety and depression. You don't have to run a marathon. Dancing, walking, whatever gets your heart rate up can do the trick. And add a little bit of that music as well. And finally, let's talk about sleep. Don't you hate it when someone says you should sleep more? It's definitely easier said than done. But sometimes you just have to mindfully, see what I did there, focus on a few basics that can help you sleep, like during the day, include physical activity in your daily routine, which is a twofer since it, as we just found out, can also alleviate stress, and limit long daytime naps or naps altogether if you have challenges going to sleep. Pay attention to what you eat and drink. Don't go to bed hungry or stuffed, and don't ingest anything with caffeine before bedtime. In fact, even hold off on caffeine a couple of hours before you go to bed. Stick to a sleep schedule and go to sleep when you start to feel sleepy. If you push through that initial sleepiness, you may miss the window of going to sleep more naturally and easily. Create a restful environment. Keep your room cool, dark, and quiet. And no screen time, 1 or preferably 2 hours before bedtime. And while I hope these tips and reminders have been helpful, if you've tried to manage your stress and it's just not working or you're feeling overwhelmed, it's important to get support. Talking to friends and loved ones can be helpful. However, if you are feeling out of control, not eating or sleeping, or eating too much, or finding it hard to get out of bed, and or not finding any pleasure out of activities you've enjoyed before, it's time to seek professional help. And if you're feeling like harming yourself, dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline. We all need help sometime, and that's why these resources are available. And we'll have other resources in our podcast notes. I really thank you for taking the time to listen. Managing stress is a lifelong process, but I hope I've encouraged you to find techniques that you can incorporate into your daily routine and use as tools to take out when you need them. And just one reminder for all of us, taking care of yourself is not selfish. It's essential. I would love to hear the ways you found to manage your stress. You can share them with us on our website at beyondthepapergown.com and on our social media at Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And if you want to learn about our latest episodes and more, subscribe to our newsletter at beyondthepapergown.com as well. In the meantime, take good care. Our podcast is produced by Patrick Shambayati and myself, and our associate producer is Kyla McMillian.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Hopeful Hints, hosted by Dr. Tara, guides and supports those on the often challenging and isolating journey of women's health concerns and infertility. There's a particularly powerful episode that you should check out called All Things Endometriosis, which dives deep into understanding the condition to help the many women who suffer from endometriosis and have no idea they have it, and healthcare providers who are uneducated about it, making the diagnosis process so difficult. Check out Hopeful Hints on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.